The House will be in order. Chair recognizes Sergeant at Arms.
Mr. Speaker, the House Committee has returned and is ready to report.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Muscatine, Representative Cisneros.
Mr. Speaker, the committee to notify the Senate that the House is ready to receive it in joint convention has completed its duty.
Thank you. The report is received and the committee is discharged. The chair recognizes the Sergeant at Arms.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the Senate, the Secretary of the Senate, and the honorable members of the Senate have arrived in the House chamber.
You will escort the President of the Senate to the Speaker's station, the Secretary of the Senate to the Chief Clerk's station, and the Senators will be seated in the House chamber.
The joint convention will be in order. The chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the roll call be dispensed with and that the president be authorized to declare a quorum present.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. The motion prevails. The chair declares a quorum present and the joint convention duly organized. The chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that a committee of six, 3 members from the Senate and 3 members from the House, be appointed to escort Governor Kim Reynolds to the House chamber.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. The motion prevails, and the chair announces the appointment of the senator from Winnesheek, Senator Klemisch, the senator from Mahaska, Senator Rosenboom, and the senator from Polk, Senator Bisignano, on the part of the Senate. The representative from Winnebago, Representative Stone, the representative from Cherokee, Representative Bush, and the representative from Woodbury, Representative Hall, on the part of the House. Will the committee retire and perform its duty? The chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that a committee of six, 3 members from the Senate and 3 members from the House, be appointed to notify the Major General of the Iowa National Guard, Benjamin Corral, that the joint convention is ready to receive him.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. The motion prevails and the chair announces the appointment of the senator from Pottawatomie, Senator Dawson, the senator from Des Moines, Senator Reichman, and the senator from Blackhawk, Senator Giddens, on the part of the Senate. The representative from Lee, Representative Graber, the representative from Green, Representative Thompson, and the representative from Marshall, Representative Cahill, on the part of the House. Will the committee retire and perform its duty? The joint convention will stand at ease. The joint convention will be in order. The chair recognizes the sergeant at arms.
Mr. President, the Executive Council has arrived in the chamber.
Please escort members of the Executive Council to their seats.
Good morning. Thank you, the Executive Council.
The chair recognizes the sergeant at arms.
Mr. President, Lieutenant Governor Adam Gregg has arrived in the chamber.
Please escort Lieutenant Governor Gregg to his seat. The chair recognizes the sergeant at arms.
Mr. President, Major General Correll's family has arrived in the House chamber.
Please escort Major General Correll's family to their seats. The chair recognizes the sergeant at arms.
Mr. President, your committee to escort Governor Kim Reynolds has arrived.
The committee will escort the Honorable Kim Reynolds to the rostrum. The chair recognizes the sergeant at arms.
Mr. President, your committee to notify and escort General Benjamin Correll has arrived.
The committee will escort Major General Benjamin Correll, Adjutant General of the Iowa National Guard, to the rostrum. It is my pleasure to introduce Major General Benjamin Correll, Adjutant General of the Iowa National Guard. General Correll is here to present the condition of the Iowa National Guard address. General.
Thank you. President Chapman, Speaker Grassley, Governor Reynolds, Lieutenant Governor Gregg, distinguished members of the Iowa General Assembly, state officials, friends, family, my fellow Iowans. Good morning, and thank you for allowing me this opportunity to provide you an update on the Iowa National Guard. As I begin this morning, I do want to thank Governor Reynolds, Lieutenant Governor Gregg, for their strong and ongoing support of our soldiers, airmen, their families, and our civilian employers. In a year like 2020, your untiring efforts on behalf of our soldiers and airmen is truly appreciated. Additionally, I want to thank you, our Iowa legislators, for all you do to support the Iowa National Guard. Your continued support is vital to our success. Bottom line up front, I can report to you that the Iowa National Guard is focused and is prepared to accomplish every mission we're assigned, whether at home or abroad. Twenty 2020 was an extraordinary year. It was truly humbling to see firsthand the collaborative efforts by so many local, our state agency partners, all come together to support Iowans throughout this pandemic. These partnerships at every level reflect the sense of community and teamwork that Iowans expect and depend upon. These many partnerships facilitate our ability as a state to respond rapidly to emergency threats to help our fellow Iowans during this time of need. This response effort was truly all hands on deck, everyone working together. As we have done throughout our history, the Iowa National Guard played a critical role while working together with our local, state, and federal partners, responding to the needs of our citizens. Because of the unique nature of our citizen soldiers and airmen and our locations across the state of Iowa, the Iowa National Guard is able to quickly fill critical gaps in response efforts. Not since the historic floods of 2008 has the Iowa National Guard played such a diverse role in coming to the aid of Iowans during their time of need. What makes the Iowa National Guard unique is the fact that the communities that we serve are our communities. We live here, we work here, we are part of the community. When a disaster strikes, we are called upon to ensure our neighbors, our towns, our families, and our friends recover as quickly as possible. We have been involved in so much this past year. I'd like to highlight some of what we've accomplished for you this morning. During our COVID-19 response efforts, the Iowa National Guard had over 900 soldiers and airmen on duty supporting Iowa's response to this pandemic. We were honored to assist Lieutenant Governor Gregg in the Feeding Iowans Task Force, helping Iowans who needed a hand obtaining food to feed their families through the support of our network of food banks and food pantries located in communities all across our state. Soldiers and airmen from the Iowa National Guard supported this effort by building over 20,000 boxes of food to hand out to our citizens and by delivering over 312 tons of food to our food banks and food pantries across the state. The Iowa National Guard safely drove over 420,000 miles, ensuring personal protective equipment was available to first responders and healthcare professionals across the state. At the same time, ensuring timely delivery of Test Iowa lab samples to the state hygienic lab. To put that in perspective, that's nearly 17 trips around the earth without serious incident or accidents. Our soldiers and airmen provided operations and management expertise to 12 Test Iowa drive-through locations across the state, ensuring all aspects of required site resources remained available to safely operate those Test Iowa sites. Out of the over 500,000 COVID-19 tests completed at all Test Iowa site locations, the Iowa National Guard assisted with more than 70% of these at our drive-through Test Iowa locations. Our soldiers and airmen made thousands of phone calls supporting the Iowa Department of Public Health's call centers, helping to track down and mitigate the spread of COVID-19. In November, at the request of Governor Reynolds, the Iowa National Guard began assisting with a patient transfer hotline to help increase demands on hospitals across the state. As we all know, the true heroes of the pandemic response have been our frontline healthcare workers, our local first responders, and public health professionals. The men and women of the Iowa National Guard are honored to have played a small role in supporting these professionals meet the needs of Iowans as we collectively work to mitigate the suffering caused by this pandemic. I am extremely proud. I am extremely proud of all of our National Guard members and their commitment to help the people of Iowa during this challenging time. The extended duration of this event and the diverse types of missions we conducted highlight the value of our citizen soldiers and airmen to the state of Iowa. These missions at home did not stop us from supporting federal missions around the world through various active duty deployments. In total, this past year, we have provided over 1,700 Iowa soldiers and airmen to serve on active duty missions throughout Europe, the Middle East, Asia, and Africa. We've also supported domestic operations at the southwest border and this past summer's California wildfires. 2020 saw the largest number of Iowa National Guard members deployed overseas in more than 10 years. I could not be prouder of their accomplishments as they execute these missions, and we look forward to their safe arrival home later this year. In addition to our COVID-19 support and active duty deployments, we responded to numerous other missions supporting the people of Iowa. The most significant was the derecho that devastated portions of Iowa on August 10th. In the days following the derecho, our mission focus was to support power restoration in Linn County. The Iowa National Guard responded with over 200 soldiers and airmen with their equipment and removed over 1,400 loads of debris, totaling almost 15,000 tons while clearing 593 city blocks. The Iowa National Guard provided cybersecurity expertise and equipment through our cyber professionals at the 168 Cyber Squadron, helping the Secretary of State safeguard fair, accurate election process for the citizens of Iowa. The Iowa National Guard cyber initiatives demonstrate how our federal missions are linked to the evolving threats that we face here at home on a daily basis. We remain actively engaged in supporting the domestic counter-drug mission by providing aviation, analytic capabilities, training, and drug demand reduction support to law enforcement agency efforts to reduce the illegal drug trade. In 2020, the Iowa National Guard counter-drug program supported the seizure of over 3,600 pounds of illegal drugs and $3.7 million in currency while providing support for 15 anti-drug coalitions. Additionally, we trained over 6,300 law enforcement professionals from across the country through our counter-drug schoolhouse on Camp Dodge. Our RC-26 reconnaissance aircraft based at the 132nd Wing here in Des Moines is a proven resource supporting law enforcement agencies and is instrumental in supporting the counter-drug mission. This past year saw a staggering number of state active duty requirements and overseas deployments for the Iowa National Guard. I could not be any prouder of these great men and women who make so many sacrifices to serve in our National Guard here in Iowa. While executing all these missions, our soldiers and airmen still found time to demonstrate that they are among the best in the nation at what they do. The 185th Air National Guard Refueling Wing in Sioux City, who will celebrate its 75th anniversary this year, was awarded its 14th in the fourth consecutive Air Force Outstanding Unit Award. The 132nd Air Wing here in Des Moines celebrates its 80th anniversary this year and was awarded its 15th in the fifth consecutive Air Force Outstanding Unit Award. The 109th Medical Battalion in Iowa City was the 2020 Army National Guard Philip A. Connolly Award winner, recognizing culinary excellence with Army Food Service programs. These recognitions demonstrate not only the training and readiness of the Iowa National Guard, but reinforce the individual commitment, motivation, and the pride of our soldiers and airmen. While it's important to reflect on where we've been and the many challenges that we face in 2020, we must also look forward to the year ahead. The Iowa National Guard will continue to be asked to support our nation's federal missions overseas. We currently have nearly 400 soldiers and airmen preparing to mobilize and deploy to Europe, Africa, and the Middle East areas of responsibility over the next several months. While mentioning upcoming deployments, this year brings an exciting new dynamic to our relationship with our state partnership program partner, Kosovo. We have coordinated for logistics and maintenance personnel from the Kosovo Security Force, or the KSF, to serve with the Iowa National Guard in upcoming deployments to the Middle East. This will mark the first expeditionary deployment for members of the KSF to serve outside its borders. The KSF has demonstrated their commitment to preparedness, and they're ready to serve alongside us. As a nation, they are taking steps to be a security provider and not just a security consumer. Based on the engagements with the Iowa National Guard with the KSF over the last 10 years, we know that they're ready for this step forward. This effort will strengthen our state partnership while highlighting the professionalism and competency of the KSF to other coalition partners. We have faced numerous obstacles with the vision to deploy the KSF with units from the Iowa National Guard. The persistence and support from the Department of State, the Iowa National Guard, the KSF, and the government of Kosovo have allowed us to turn this idea into a reality. As I mentioned last year to you, the vision of the Iowa National Guard is to be the most trusted organization in Iowa. We continue to work every day to build and maintain trust in all that we do. My vision for the Iowa National Guard is focused on always being ready to defend our country and to come to the aid of Iowans in times of need. This requires us to be responsible stewards of our resources, ensuring our organization is ready for any task or mission put before us. And last but not least, to be responsive to the needs of our state and nation. To help accomplish this vision, we are focused on four lines of effort which will drive the Iowa National Guard's strategic objectives for the next 7 years. These lines of effort include fielding a competent and ready force, maintaining the right force structure in Iowa, developing and maintaining sustainable infrastructure across the state, and caring for our service members, our employees, and our families. To meet the needs here at home and the security requirements abroad, the Iowa National Guard must remain focused on fielding competent and ready forces. That means that we must anticipate future needs for both the state and the nation as we develop plans that will increase predictability for our service members, their families, and our civilian employers. It is my belief that demand for the Iowa National Guard will remain high as we look to the future. The citizens of Iowa expect and depend on us to be always ready and prepared to respond to any threat or challenge. This requires our units to be disciplined, physically fit, results-oriented, and achieve all readiness objectives. We continuously define and measure these benchmarks, ensuring we have a clear and precise picture of readiness among our forces. I assure you, as I have committed to the governor, the Iowa National Guard is now and will always be ready to respond to the needs of the people of Iowa. The second line of effort is maintaining force structure. When we talk about force structure, we mean having the right size, the right type of units stationed in the right areas of the state. This effort requires a total team approach to achieve results. There's much emphasis on strength readiness, keeping our positions filled with quality members. Recruiting and retention is a critical task that must be at the forefront of all that we do. In 2020, we focused on our strength goals, and we successfully filled 100% of the positions allocated to the Iowa National Guard from the National Guard Bureau in Washington, D.C. There are always challenges in meeting our readiness goals as we compete with a strong job market and face competition from other services, along with neighboring states who offer competing educational incentives. My goal is to ensure that those Iowans who want to remain in Iowa and serve in the military choose to be a member of the Iowa National Guard. We know that quality state education incentives play a critical role in keeping our members here in Iowa. Thanks to the funding that this legislative body has provided, we do remain competitive with our state educational incentives for our members who want to pursue their educational goals at Iowa colleges and universities. We must also improve our efforts in the recruitment of diverse Iowa citizens. While we have made great strides in diversifying our force, we still have a long ways to go. I continue to ensure equity and inclusion remains a top priority in the Iowa National Guard. I require my senior leaders to understand the demographics within their units and have the tools to positively impact and improve diversity and inclusion within our ranks. Our diversity metrics continue to demonstrate positive trends with an increase in the percentage of females and minorities serving in the Iowa National Guard. We currently have three female O6 colonels in the Iowa Air National Guard, and just this month, we promoted two female officers to colonel in the Iowa Army National Guard, the first time in 15 years that an Army female has achieved this career milestone. The Iowa National Guard is committed to diversity and inclusion across all spectrums. We continue to engage with community groups through various outreach programs, as well as conduct events that not only introduce our soldiers and airmen to various cultures, but showcases the opportunities that exist in the Iowa National Guard to all Iowa citizens. Our third line of effort is our ability to maintain and develop sustainable infrastructure. Stewardship of our resources entrusted to us requires us to be responsible not only for our people, but for the state and federal resources that we receive to operate with. These limited resources provide our units with quality infrastructure, specifically our armories, our maintenance facilities, our air wings across the state. I do thank this legislative body for your continued commitment and dedication to this effort. Without your support, we would not be successful in providing the facilities required to maintain our readiness. A portion of my responsibilities as the Adjutant General is to look forward to the future and ensure the Iowa National Guard is postured for continued success. I believe a future Army National Guard Readiness Center located in south of Des Moines metro area will posture the organization well into the future as we look at the shifting demographic trends within the state. We have been in communication with the City of West Des Moines, and they do have an interest in creating a future multi-use facility with us. The land for this proposed action has already been secured by the city, and we look forward to advancing this project over the next several years. This spring, we will dedicate our state-of-the-art Davenport Readiness Center, one of the newest military facilities in the state. This $23 million, totally federally funded project supports the recruiting, administration, training, and the logistical needs for over 350 soldiers now and into the future. Additionally, this spring, there will be a ribbon cutting for our new federally funded tracked vehicle maintenance facility designed for use by our Sustainment Training Center on Camp Dodge. The Sustainment Training Center provides collective technical and tactical sustainment training for the entire U.S. Army. This new building will add additional capabilities for the Sustainment Training Center and will provide new opportunities for soldiers from across the nation to train in Iowa. My fourth line of effort and the most critical component of everything we do in the Iowa National Guard is taking care of our service members, our civilian employees, and our families. Without our people, the Iowa National Guard does not exist. We recognize that military service places significant demands and stress not only on our service members, but on our families as well. Please join me in applauding the dedication and sacrifices given by our families. Thank you. We owe them all an organizational culture that recognizes and values their contributions and sacrifices. As I mentioned earlier, my goal is to be the most trusted organization in the state of Iowa. In order to build trust, there must be transparency, which is one of my priorities for the Iowa National Guard. We acknowledge that sexual assaults, sexual harassment, and retaliatory behaviors still happen and continue to be a problem for the military and for our society. I remain committed to holding those who cross the line accountable and am focused on eliminating these actions and behaviors from our ranks. Respect, trust, and discipline are the foundation of unit cohesiveness and readiness. Leaders have the responsibility to build and maintain that foundation. The Iowa National Guard is committed to creating a culture of prevention before, intervention during, and delivering compassion and human decency in the face of a catastrophic event. We know that we must work to earn the trust of our soldiers, airmen, civilians, and fellow Iowans every day. This transparency not only applies to sexual assault and sexual behavior, it also applies to behavior health, mental health, and suicides. Taking care of our service members involves open and frank discussions about difficult issues. Like sexual assault, sexual harassment, these issues are not just military or National Guard issues. These are challenges across our society. We are working hard in every aspect to build the trust in our organization that we will always do what's right. We need to continue to invest in programs and activities that educate our soldiers, airmen, and families on prevention and intervention to ensure our service members get the help they need when they need it in order to increase our service members' safety, security, and resiliency. I am committed to building and maintaining the trust of those who serve in our formations and to do what is expected of us by our fellow citizens. If we are to be truly successful in our mission, we must look beyond the next year or two. We must prepare for what the world will look like in the years to come. The world in which we live in today presents complicated security challenges that are constantly changing at an ever-increasing rate and scope. In order to meet these future challenges, we have designed and implemented a strategic plan called the Iowa National Guard Strategy 2028. The strategic plan will guide us over the next 7 years to ensure that we are prepared to mobilize, deploy, execute diverse missions as part of the United States military or in support of the governor for the people of Iowa. Over our existence in the last 182 years, thousands of Iowans have steadfastly defended America, both at home and abroad, through service in the Iowa National Guard. As demonstrated through the years, the Iowa National Guard has always been there, and we proudly stand ready today to respond to the unknown challenges that lie ahead here, both at home and abroad. The condition of your Iowa National Guard is today and will remain strong. With your continued support and the support of Iowans everywhere, we are always ready. We are warriors, we are citizens, we are your neighbors. We stand together, strengthening the future of Iowa. Thank you all very much.
Will the committee to escort Major General please come forward and escort Major General Correll from the House chamber? Will the committee to escort the governor please come forward and escort Governor Kim Reynolds from the House chamber? The chair recognizes the representative from Harrison, Representative Winchittle.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the joint convention be dissolved.
You've heard the motion of the representative from Harrison, Representative Winchittle. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. The motion prevails and the joint convention is dissolved.
The House will be in order. Introduction of bills.
House File 70 by Wolf, a bill for an act relating to eligible parties of valid marriage, to a valid marriage.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment. Amendment referred to the Committee on Judiciary.
House File 71 by Confers, a bill for an act to an agreement among the states to elect president by national popular vote.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment. Amendment referred to the Committee on State Government.
House File 72 by Hunter, a bill for an act repealing the declaration that English language is the official language of the state of Iowa.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment. Amendment referred to the Committee on State Government.
House File 73 by Wills, a bill for an act requiring certain percentages of the motor vehicles sold at retail in the state to be flex fuel vehicles and making penalties applicable.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment. Amendment referred to the Committee on Transportation.
House File 74 by Hunter, a bill for an act relating to hands-free operation of electronic communication devices while driving and making penalties applicable.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment. Amendment referred to the Committee on Transportation.
House File 75 by A. Meyer, a bill for an act relating to the use of electronic communication devices in a voice-activated or hands-free mode while driving, providing penalties and making penalties applicable.
First reading of the bill is now for committee amendment for the Committee on Transportation. Chair recognizes gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchittle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd ask that the House stand at ease at this time until the conclusion of the Administration Rules Committee meeting.
The House will be at ease until the conclusion of the committee and the fall of the gavel.